Well, good evening, everyone. It's really great to see you all here. As you know, Kate and Guy are away this weekend because they're marrying Mark Glassman. And forget that his fiance's name slips my mind, but Kate and Guy are going to be marrying him this afternoon in Wartsworth, I believe. So, yeah. So, it's great that we can all be here this evening. And I'll open the prayer. Okay. Dear Lord, I thank you for bringing us all here today, Lord. And I thank you from the different parts of Wave and beyond that we come from today, that we can all be together and that we can worship you, that we can meet in freedom, Lord, and just grow in our relationship with you and one another. Lord, I commit this service to you and ask that your will would be done. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just work here today. We welcome you in your presence and thank you that you are here. We commit this service to you and thank you that we can be here in this building together as Cornerstone Church. Amen. Okay, just bear with me for a minute. We will jump straight into the message today. Okay. So we are continuing on our journey through Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, where Kate spoke last time about being light and what that entails. So we're still continuing in chapter 5, where we continue to hear Paul's encouragement to the church of Ephesians, his zealous approach to strengthen and encourage all believers. As we know, Paul spent about 3 years with the Ephesian church, strengthening them and encouraging them over the years. So as I said, the week before, Kate spoke about being light, and that we were once in the darkness and now we're in the light and what that means. And also we hear we have to be imitators of God, to live as children of light. But with that light, we all have a responsibility of how we are called to live wisely. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So we're at the point of, still in chapter 5, at verse 15 to 20. So I'll read that out to you. Paul says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So let's look at the first two verses, which I'll just recap. Being careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. You know, when I started thinking of this, and thinking of just everyday life, how we get up and what we do, it made me to think, you know, how do we live carefully? Living wise and not unwise. And when I think of just our everyday things, what we listen to, be on the TV, the radio, or whatever means, other people, what we watch on a phone or iPad or computer or, on billboards, electronic billboards, whatever means of media it might be. How we speak, what we feel, what we think, how we manage our time, our allotted time, our balance of work and rest, how we manage our money, how we eat and drink, our sleep, our actions, how we treat each other, our relationships with God and others and ourselves, basically all of who we are, every part of us. And it's this call of us carrying this light of how we are to live carefully or wisely. So that brings me to Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, and the Message, which talks about placing your life before God. And it says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. So not on your own, with God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it all before God as a nothing. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your eyes on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it, unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings out the best in you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So as we read, placing our lives before God daily, surrendering everything, all those things I've said, and with his help, listening to what he requires from us, spending the time with him to listen and to take that time to learn what he wants us to do or say in our relationships and with other people and the likes. So, of course, to live like that call of we have that light, to carry that light wherever we are, and knowing that we have to lay our lives before God, surrendering our lives, what we need is heavenly wisdom to do that well. Because, as Paul tells us, to live wisely, not unwisely. So what we need is heavenly wisdom. But what does that heavenly wisdom look like? And in James 3, 16 to 18, it says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. And heavenly wisdom, as we know, is given so freely, as we read in James 1:5, which says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And what that's like, it's like God gives us heavenly wisdom. It's like almost him giving us a part of him, his wisdom, heavenly wisdom, which is so amazing. And, you know, to any one of us who ask, he won't deny that. He just so freely gives. But in our everyday lives, what does living wisely look like? As we know, there's lots of wisdom teaching throughout the Bible. And we know through Jesus' teaching, the parables and the Beatitudes, Jesus used wisdom widely. And one of the well-known stories we find in Matthew 7, 24 to 27, which is about the wise man and foolish man, or unwise man. It says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who did not build his house, who built his house on the sand. And then the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell. And great was the fall. We see here Jesus plainly explaining the difference of hearing his words and putting them into practice, living carefully, living wisely. Then on the other hand, he's saying hearing, if we hear his words and don't choose to follow them, it's living unwisely with ultimately not good consequences. As Kate touched on when she briefly spoke a little bit about wisdom, she mentioned the book of Proverbs. And of course that is a book which greatly helps us in instructions, basically, of how to live wisely. And you might know the first nine chapters, chapters 1 to 9, are basically one long dialogue, how to live. And it's got a figure called Lady Wisdom, which is God and God's ways. And then Lady Folly, which is basically the world, immorality and idolatry. And that's the same as the choices we have in life, choosing worldly wisdom or choosing God's ways, you know, spending time with him and learning his will. See, wisdom proverbs asks questions and they require our imagination. They help us to organize our life around God. For the wise person, proverbs is a skill of life. It's about moral and ethical behavior, our values in life. And wisdom proverbs also help establishing character. They are not about good advice, but rather about our formation of our character. And they're also intended to make us ask questions and use our imagination and teach us to navigate life, instructing us how to think correctly and how to live correctly. Bible commentaries say, Proverbs are truths stripped back to the essentials. I can just think of some when you read them, you're like, oof, you know, straight to the point, which is sometimes what we need to hear. I'll continue with this commentary. It says, they are stripped down and left to stand, all with the goal of arresting our attention, getting us to sit up straight and look, oh, you know, that's caught my attention, and engaging our minds, getting us to think about that. How do I think? How do I act? And how that goes with our thoughts, our words, our actions. So proverb is a truth at its most concentrated form. And this expects us to add spirit, illuminated reflection to come to a full understanding. So here I've just picked out three proverbs to back that up. One of my favourites, Proverbs 3, 5 to 8, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is wise counsel. Trust him with everything. And don't lean on your own understanding, how you think, how you process things. Oh, it's got to be that way. It's only that way. Trust in God's way with all your heart. In all your ways. That's what I said at the beginning. In everything of your life, your actions, your speech, your feelings, your relationships, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing for your flesh and refreshment for your bones. And chapter 4, verse 4 says, let your heart hold fast to my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. And a simple Proverbs 15:1, which all of us I know have to practice. It says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And Proverbs 4:20-23 says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to one's body. Above all, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And our heart is the why of who we are, of what we believe. And those beliefs, those thoughts and feelings come out, you know, whatever's in there. So guarding it, what we allow in it, is so crucial. So continuing on, how do we live wisely? How do we live well with heavenly wisdom helping us? James 3:13-16 says, do you want to be counted wise, to build a reputation for wisdom? Here's what to do. Live well, live wisely, live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and characterized by getting along with one another. It's gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honour. Now, I know in our everyday lives, being human and born sinful, that it is difficult. It's not an easy thing. It's a lifelong thing, isn't it? Of saying, I'm sorry, forgive me for what I said, and asking for forgiveness, and yeah, keeping that surrender up with God of everything, and trusting Him, and getting up and walking on, and believing that He is changing you from the inside out. So the next part of this piece of scripture is verse 18, which says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. See, in the ancient time when Paul wrote this to the Ephesians, drunkenness was a real problem in the ancient world, just as it is today. Now, we know that Jesus turned water into wine, so alcohol is not bad, but the misuse of alcohol, as we see it on our roads, you know, it's legal in community, but the damage, the misuse of it does. We see on our roads the devastating consequences in relationships and families and in communities. Paul here was stating a reality of life and the misuse of alcohol, again calling us to wisely act with alcohol. On the other hand of the piece of scripture, it says, be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit, as we know, conveys the presence of who Jesus is. Faith creates such a consciousness of the presence of God. You know, when you go into a situation or somewhere and you feel the presence, you know that something isn't quite right. That we have this heightened attention about God and in our spirit. And we are able to see God's work in us, which enables us to do well, His will, which is so great. It's funny, I was just speaking with David and just talking about how many times you got to read something before it sticks in your mind. But the great thing about the Holy Spirit is, you know, when you read things in the Bible, how the Holy Spirit will bring scriptures to your mind, even when you're not thinking of it. And you think, I might have only read that a few times, but in that situation, he'll bring the right scripture in. That's so amazing. It doesn't have anything to do with our mind, but it's the Holy Spirit working in us, bringing that to our remembrance to be able to say that in whatever situation we're in. So, the Bible commentary says, be filled with the Spirit then is to ask us to focus our attention on Christ and His presence in us. to open ourselves to the continual transforming of the work of the Spirit. So the presence of Christ empowers and shapes our life. And I also note the Spirit should be the dominating influence in our life. That as we do that surrender, and every day we say, Holy Spirit, work through me, work in me. And taking that step of faith too, and trusting that the Holy Spirit is with you. You should pray for someone or, yeah, get into a conversation about something. So the last few verses of that part, we're going to look at, continue saying, instead be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here, we are reminded to recognise that our worship, that we will have worship in a while. Where am I? It's primarily for God. It's worshiping Him and for His pleasure. But these last few verses also remind us that our worship also allows us to serve and build up one another. You see, when we let the words of worship fill our minds and our hearts, we will speak to one another well. And lastly, Paul reminds us always, give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, giving thanks always urges us to develop an inner perspective of gratitude, to live each moment with an awareness of the blessings we have from God. However, I know and completely understand we all go through times where we find it difficult to thank God for whatever, for illness or loss or what. We may not know exactly what to say. And of course, you know, it says give thanks in everything. Like, we can't give thanks for bad things going on, because that's not right. It's basically thanking God for He is with us, and that, yeah, believing that He will work in those parts, and that He will work things out for good in His way. But even when we thank God, when we can't think, we can think of Him always for His love and His compassion, for saving us, for His presence, that He will never leave us nor forsake us, and for giving us a sure hope of our future and His hope, His future, you know, of what is ahead. Praise the Lord. So our challenge then from this piece of scripture is to watch closely how we live. That life is not an aimless series of activities. It's a steady journey towards the goal, following the will of God, abiding in Him, getting to know. I was thinking, you know, what reading the Bible's like and how it's spending time in the depths of the Bible. And if you look at, say, one verse, you can look at it and, yeah, you can mull over it, but it's almost like having a start, you have a taste. But how I like them, getting into the Bible and really starting to understand it and going over. It's like a meal, and it's like veg and meat and stuff, and it's full of colours and depth, and you think all the vegetables have got minerals and vitamins and antioxidants. It's all good for us. It's all nourishing for us. And the meat probably, or fish, whatever, has been marinated, and it smells lovely, and it's got real depth and flavour to it, and it's really, you know, you eat it and probably eat it with friends, and you remember that time with friends and the chatter and the good food, and yeah, it stays with you, it resonates with you, it does something to you, it's God working in you, you know. So just threw that in. Okay, so as I said, it's abiding in Him. and surrendering everything in our lives to him daily. It's listening to his words and following his way. Living wisely involves considering all information in light of our relation to God and discerning his will. Yeah, we are born and we grow up independent, but it's that dependence on God for his will and what his will is, not ours, in everything. And that in that, his spirit, as we know from earlier on in Ephesians, that we have the seal of the Holy Spirit. We have that when we commit our lives to Jesus and say, yes, I'm going to follow him. But the Spirit's work, on the other hand, that transforming work requires our daily cooperation. I know many times I've been thinking something hasn't been going well, and a thought will come into mind, and then whoosh, the Holy Spirit drops something into my mind. This is the right way, Maria. And how it, I prefer to do this because that's how I feel, but the Holy Spirit gently reminds me, this is what we should do. And that's, that's a pull to live wisely and not unwise. The ways of the world, the ways of the flesh, but the ways of God. The pull to finally remember them. You know, when I say this, we will be following this in our final steps of Ephesians, but I think it's so prominent in this life we go through, and especially navigating, holding that light and living wisely, acting wisely in the words we say and our relationships and everything, and choosing the right things. We have to, what Paul says is, finally then, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. As Paul said, we are in an evil day. We've been in an evil day forever, after Eve put into the apple. So we need to stand strong and put on the armor so that we can stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, each other, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Like I said, your spirit discerning when something isn't quite right. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the evil day comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with a readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. This is how we can live carefully. How we can live wisely and not unwise. This is what Ephesians is calling us to do in right living. And it's in that we build a stronger community in the humility and taking that time with God and enriching ourselves and his word. So next, as I leave that with you to pull over, we're going to go to communion. Shane, could you hop down to bring me? So now let us draw together around the communion table. Let's take this time to focus on what Jesus has done for us, the sacrifice of his life for all of us, because of his selfless love for you and for me, his forgiveness, his love, his hope, his peace, along with a real, true relationship that we can have with him. Jesus, our Saviour, we are forever thankful for your saving grace. So what I'd like you to do is come up and take communion and take it back to your seats, and then we'll take communion together. Thank you.